entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
That is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
From I was going to say some things, but I better not, especially since I have some guests here. Taylor and Matt hanging out from Pewter Report. So do we want to first talk about it's not about them, it's always about us, or do we want to talk about the efficiency of the offensive line? See, I did like 6 seconds of research.
Wow.
How about that?
I appreciate that, since you said that you don't read stuff.
I don't. Well, I only read the headline. I didn't read anything about it. Does that offend you?
No. Not at all. It's just... I'd rather you be upfront with, really, with anything that how you feel about one way.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I've had a few people, you know, that were very offended by it. They wanted to fight me about it, and you know, I mean, there's a reason for it, and I think I've explained the reason that
yes,
I am so well liked in this town, and really right now on this convention center floor, that you know, if I say something, they're going to say, "Well, you got it from, you heard it from, you read it from," and so literally, I do not read. Probably because I don't know how, but you know, I don't read, I don't listen to other stuff, but I did read both of your headlines. How are you guys enjoying a really awful experience here on the Super Bowl?
I guess I don't know anything else, so it's
right. That's what I was going
to
say
here. But I mean, yeah, from what you've told me of going to past Super Bowls and past Radio Rows and past media centers, I guess I just expected the flood of people when I knew it wouldn't happen. And then I guess I really didn't know what to expect, but when I came to get my credential and there was zero people in line, I literally walked in and there was a queue and I was like, what for? I'm literally the only person in this room except for the two tellers handing out credentials. Next day I come in and there's nobody here. There's about 42 booths, I think, available here in Radio Row, and only about 20 of them were booked, Jay said. I think only about 10 were in use at the time. So, I mean, I'd love to see one that isn't in this kind of COVID world we're in right now, but I guess I don't really know anything else other than an empty media center.
Right. This is our first Super Bowl, so you hear things, but it can only go up from here. You know,
this is
the floor.
The only thing that could be worse than this is there not be a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, yeah. We had Chad Conister on. Here's the worst part of the whole broadcast since Tuesday. I would be willing, and I'm not a gambling man, but I feel very comfortable to say that I have had more live guests on the two-hour shows, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, than probably any other show here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, I want to know...
That's a bad point.
Well, I mean, it's good for you.
You're willing to fight
against, you know, people
being
afraid.
It. I just proved that.
Yeah, you don't hold back, which is one of the things that I admire about you.
You know, the whole thing about the mask is just so stupid. You know, I don't have a problem wearing a mask. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah.
But... you can take the mask off when you eat. You can take the mask off when you're drinking. They put this stupid plexiglass up so you and I can't spit on each other. But obviously you and I can, which is stupid. But if you can be the 6 feet, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be that jerk, but it's got to be one or the other.
No, I hear what you're saying. And it's funny because I was talking with my dad about this and he was bringing up a point where, like, you know, on Fridays for lunch, they'll go to a local restaurant that's pretty close. And so they know the people pretty well. And there was one day that they were walking in and, like, he just forgot to put a mask on, you know, and they were like, oh, no, you have to go back outside and put the mask on, come back in. It's like, is COVID only in the 15 feet of, like, walking outside and then coming back in just so you could walk for a minute to go sit down and take your mask off? You know, like, I'm not trying to, like, get all political or fight about anything like that. It's just
I just think so much of it is obviously safety first. We can talk about that, not spreading it, trying to avoid the spread, all that. But I think so much of it now, especially with organizations like the NFL, is about optics and is about covering your own backside.
Sure.
So it's about being so overreachingly safe. It's like when you look at you got 53 guys out on the sidelines every day, 11 for each team on the field. They're hitting each other. They're spitting. They're fighting. They're talking. They're yelling. They're hitting each other. They're tackling each other. And then when they get on the sidelines, they throw on their masks, despite the fact that they've been tested for 3 days. And it all just boils down to, I mean, especially in those situations, because you have a COVID outbreak, games get canceled, games get pushed back. And when you have a guy that on Monday pops up with a COVID test, then you have the contact tracing and who was he around on the sidelines? Who was he around in the meeting rooms? Things like that. But here, it's just a case, I mean, so much of just, I think, optics and covering all liability. And I mean, just it's just the overreaching safety precautions. But yeah, some of them are just.
But that's what I have the problem with. It's what a lot of people are lacking. And I know we want to talk about the game. Or
no
least,
nuance.
At least I know you guys want to. You know, it's the common sense thing.
Yeah.
We went to leave out of this Tampa Convention Center and we walk out and, you know, you've left the exact same way. And we walk up to the escalator. And they're like, no, you have to walk all the way around
to go right by the coffee stop.
And they said, yeah, we know it's stupid. We can only do our job. I'm not taking it out on them. You're only doing your job. But come on, some kind of common sense has to be implemented, you know, at some point. Give me, you know, your take. I know you guys have articles up at pewterreport.com. You know, what have you guys been working on? I know it's different stories and different things that you guys are doing. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great working at Pewter Report. I've obviously everything's digital this year and everything like that, but it's really been fun getting to go on all these different, I guess they're Zoom calls, but yeah, like the Radio Row, well, this is Radio Row, but all the interviews sort of. Going on with the player availability, it's fun in the sense that you can like hop around from player to player and player and things like that, and really get some more insight from the guys that you don't even get to talk to a lot of the times, like Nacho, Raheem Nunez-Roaches is a guy that we don't get to talk to that much because we're kind of at the mercy of like the PR team. So to talk to him and hear about just like how these guys put it all on the line and they want to play for each other and like how they all get juiced up by this guy makes a play and we get all fired up. It's been fun getting to talk to some of the guys that we don't necessarily get all during the season. And for the game itself, I think the biggest thing really is the Bucks need to get home on a four-man pass rush because that's the only way they're going to be able to stop this Chiefs offense that honestly looks almost invincible at times.
How much do you think, and we just had Todd Yoder on and we talked a little bit about if, in fact, it's going to rain on Sunday, which I love because it's bringing down ticket prices. Can you believe? Now, again, I've been around a long time. I know what tickets, you know, sell for. I know what the face value is. I know what the scalpers buy them for. I know, you know, what it's eventually sold for. This knucklehead who reached out to me, and we've been told knucklehead is in you know, a nice word, and I want it to be a more negative word. He paid $8,500 per ticket. He bought four tickets. He's a Buffalo Bill fan. He was convinced the Bills were going to be Kansas City.
I see. So he jumped the gun there.
I don't know which is worse, that you paid $8,500 per ticket or you actually thought the Buffalo Bills.
You might as well just put a $25,000 bet on him in Vegas and get a better return than you would at that rate. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Matt's the betting guy, but.
Yeah, I am the betting guy.
Well, I mean, would you rather bank on the tickets going up and getting them for the Bills, or would you rather put it on Vegas?
Oh, I'd rather put it on Vegas and go that way. But I mean,
but if you're a Buffalo Bill, you still would have lost.
Yeah,
you know, it's not. Yeah. Like, you know, either way, he's out.
All right. Yeah. All right. When you put it that way, then I'd rather get the ticket because you know,
resell the ticket.
Being at the Super Bowl, obviously this year it sucks with COVID and everything. But being at the Super Bowl is an experience. You know, it's like one of those bucket list things that people try to do.
I disagree. Only at I don't think whoever is going to this game on Sunday is going to have a better experience than if you're in a totally full stadium. I believe that. Because you're not going to have sitting right next to each other. You're going to have a lot of space. You can reach out. You can, it's almost like you're in your backyard and they're playing in your backyard.
And there still will be atmosphere because, I mean, what? It's a 65,000-person stadium and they're totaling, I think, 25,000 fans.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's still going to be loud.
Yeah, you'll
get
noise.
You're still going to have fans. You're still going to have an atmosphere. But, yeah, like you said, it's not going to be 66,000 jam-packed.
And, I mean, I went to Raymond James Stadium earlier this year for, like, a USF game. And it was like
go Bulls, baby.
Yeah, it was like a random Friday night game. And, you know, you still get a little bit of the feel of the fanfare, of the excitement. USF sucked in that game. No offense, Taylor.
Oh, no. And what the funny thing about USF games during COVID is the crowds aren't that much different.
Right.
Yeah, it's like they don't need to enforce COVID protocols because – especially in a one-win season like this one, people just didn't show up.
Now, both of you guys have said, obviously, this is not obviously, but it's, you know, it's your first Super Bowl experience. And people have asked me, and I don't feel like this is a Super Bowl. I don't feel the excitement of the game on Sunday. We are literally, and when the show started, we were saying about Shelton Quarles away, about 53, you know, hours away. I feel like it's, I don't know, March. And we're 9 months away.
Yeah.
I don't get that feeling, you know, all those stands on the side of the road and all those billboards. And I don't see any of that. Do you guys notice that?
I have seen fans around. I love seeing the flags. And I do think the city's excited, especially, you know, being on Twitter, you just see the fans going nuts. And I feel like I have seen a lot of people out wearing their jerseys and wearing, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And I,
it and there's really, nothing we can do about it.
No,
right.
Let's
be honest. It's no one's fault.
It just really, I think, sucks for...
Depending on who you ask.
I think it sucks for a city that when you look at what they've had as far as sports success in their history, the Bucks since 76 have been the losingest franchise, literally worst winning percentage in the four major sports.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for, I always say this, if it wasn't for a little 5-6 year period in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they got a Super Bowl and had an unbelievable defense, they would be looked at the same as the Cleveland Browns. But they're lucky because they did have that period. And when people look back at them, it's not necessarily that they've been any better than the Browns since their inception, realistically. It's the fact that when you think of the Browns, you think of the jokes. Same as the Detroit Lions. You often, I think, people, because they're a small market, forget about the Bucks. And when they do think about them, they don't think about the Josh Freemans and the Jeff Garcias. They think about the Warren Sapp, the Derek Brooks, the Rondé Barber, the John Lynch, the Super Bowl. So while they don't win, they're mostly forgot about, and that's what they're remembered for. But outside of that, it's all been losing. People forget that the Lightning, while they had their Stanley Cup in 04, they've had a little 7-8 year run of a lot of success. Outside of those little periods, they were a cellar-dwelling team. The Rays have been really competitive for the last 10 years, but the 10 years before that, sitting in the cellar of the AFC East. AL East.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So football right now. But it's just like in the 1 year that Tampa Bay just explodes. I mean, gets Tom
City
Brady.
City of champions.
You get a World Series appearance. You get a Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup wasn't even played in this country. You had Dallas and Tampa playing
Canada.
Right.
You had the Rays in a World Series that was being played, what, in San Diego, never got closer to Tampa than Texas. And now you've got a Super Bowl that's being held. The only city or the only sport in the three championships Tampa's gone to this year that is at a neutral site location for the championship game is being held in their own backyard.
Yeah, it's like a 1% chance that like the
happens.
NFL team.
So it's so bad luck for a city that's seen so much bad
and
sports.
And to add to your point, if the Bucks weren't playing in the Super Bowl, it would not have that Super Bowl type feel. I happened to be in Channelside like the week before when they were setting thing up. I was out there socially with some friends and stuff. So I saw all the banners and things like that. But to go even further, Tampa's gotten screwed over. Obviously, when they talk about the Super Bowl coming here, a big thing is like, oh, it's great for the economy and everything like that. Tampa also got screwed over with they were supposed to have the first round of March Madness, an NCAA tournament. That's big revenue. They're supposed to have WrestleMania. I'm a big wrestling guy, as you know, Randy. Obviously, WrestleMania is coming back this year.
Right.
But they missed out on that. They missed out on a lot of things this year. And finally, they get the Super Bowl. The Bucks are here. Everything's great. And they can't even enjoy it. And same thing with all the championships.
You know, and like you guys already said, you know, it's not just the Super Bowl. The World Series, all those playoff games. You know, we're headed to Ferg's after this.
That's tickets right there.
Did Mark lose? Yeah. And, you know, the whole community. Now, granted, and I have said this, this would have been the case no matter where it was. If the World Series was in Toronto, they would have lost out.
Yeah.
You know, if whatever, the Super Bowl was in Kentucky, they would have lost that.
Be the worst Super Bowl
ever. How many times? Kentucky's not in the Super Bowl. It's just that's where it is. There's some cool stuff in Kentucky.
All right, I guess I haven't been there. I can't knock it till I try it.
One of my favorite cities is Detroit. You know, the stuff to do in Detroit, there is some cool stuff to do there.
Yeah, I've seen 8 Mile.
You know, well, I drove by 8 Mile when I broadcasted from the Pawn Store. You know, from Hardcore Pawn.
Yeah.
So I did a show from there, which was cool. Hit Town USA, you go in there and you know where Motown was kind of started.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there is kind of a lot of cool stuff. Let's go hit a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about something that's happening on Sunday. I'm not really quite sure. And a couple other off the wall things. So you guys going to hang out?
Absolutely.
Sure. All right. We'll be right back. Coming to you live from the Tampa Convention Center. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stap Zone. We'll be right back.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered,
face demons real or in their heads and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
The biggest bare knuckle event ever, Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, live on pay-per-view. Featuring the highly anticipated debut of Paige VanZant against bare knuckle veteran Britton Hart. Plus, brutal Johnny Bedford defends his 135-pound title against the undefeated Dat Nguyen. And Chris the Crippler Lieben returns to face Quentin Henry. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join us on February 14th from noon till 3 p.m. at the Sarasota Polo Club for the Sport of Kings in the exclusive Polo Clubhouse. As a VIP, you'll enjoy an open bar, great food, VIP parking, a VIP gift bag, and much, much more. Go to festivalsofspeed.com for more info, directions, and how to purchase your VIP tickets. What a unique way to spend Valentine's Day and make this day a day you will never forget.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
All right, we are back. The great Todd Yoder, one of the most talked about radio programs in the history of radio.
That's what I've heard.
No, true story. So I get a phone call. We were doing a Monday night show. It was the Todd Yoder show at Jack Willie's. Matter of fact, he even just mentioned the name when he was on, I don't know, half an hour ago. And on Monday Night Football, John Madden would rip the show.
Really?
And he's like,
what an honor.
those damn Buccaneers, they have so many player shows. I don't know if he talked that way. Even the third string tight end, Todd Yoder, has, you know, and Todd calls me. He goes, Randy, this isn't good. I go, no, Todd, this is awesome.
Yeah, any publicity, right? Any publicity is good publicity. Yeah,
John Madden talking about us. Before I ask you guys keys to the game and all that, you're more experts on this stuff than me. Let everybody know how they can follow you, you know, all your social media. Yeah, you know, how can people get involved and read your stuff?
Yeah, so you can find us on PeterReport.com. My Twitter handle is at Maddie4_Matera. That's M-A-T-E-R-A. Same thing with Instagram, pretty much. I think Instagram is Maddie4_Matera2. I don't know why the difference is. I should probably change that. But you can find me there on social media. And Peter Report Podcast, I edit that. So make sure you check that out.
Yeah, like you said, you can find our writing at pewterreport.com. You can find us on Twitter at pewterreport. That'll have all our articles up, all that. We have the podcast posted there, but you can find me on Twitter at tjenkinstampa. You can check me out and hit me with a follow and get ready for this game on Sunday.
Keys to the game. What do you guys think?
God, it's like Matt said earlier. I mean, getting pressure with four is going to be so massive because of how much speed the Chiefs have in their offense. Mahomes has such an ability to make plays happen out of the pocket. So it's not just getting pressure with four, but it's containing Mahomes and not letting him get out of the pocket and make those plays and find Kelce down the field. The Bucs are going to have to run a lot of cover two on defense. That's just to give help over the top on guys like Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. And then that obviously leaves a ton of pressure on Devin White, Lavonte David, and Sean Murphy Bunting to try and slow down Travis Kelce. The biggest advantage that the Bucs defense has is the patchwork offensive line that the Chiefs have. Both their starting tackles are out. Their starting guard, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, opted out, so they got a new guard in. A right guard is switched over to right tackle now. So that's going to be the biggest advantage there. And on offense, it's just being consistent. I mean, they were so slow starting out in the first game against them, went down 17-0. And even though it was a three-point game in the end, it was really kind of over in the first half, and they had to claw their way back out of it. And that's just not going to happen.
And that's the one thing that I've kind of talked about. Everybody thinks that it was a closer game than it really was back then.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that really Kansas City took their foot off the gas and all that kind of stuff, but they might have. But it was a much bigger difference than, you know, the couple points.
Yeah, they made some big key plays, too. I mean, there was another time the Chiefs were all the way down the field, and then the Bucs sacked Mahomes, forced a fumble, recovered it. So they got bailed out with that. That's the thing, is they made the big adjustments at halftime and were able to stay into this game. So I don't think that's gotten past the players that, hey, we can go toe-to-toe with these guys if we play the right way. To go back to the offense, I've said it before and I've said it again, you can't doubt Tom Brady in these moments. I grew up my whole life. I grew up on Long Island. As a Jets fan, I've watched Tom Brady destroy my teams, destroy the division for years and years and years.
Well, he also destroyed good teams, too.
Very good teams. I mean, you can go back to the Super Bowl when they came back against Atlanta.
Right.
He destroys everyone, you know? But the offense at times does fall into patterns where they'll go three and out and they'll start stalling. You can't have that against this Kansas City team. You have to score at least a minimum of 30 points if you want to win this game. Now, and they're a much better offensively. They're much better since the last time that they played Kansas City, which is the last time that they lost as well. I think something that the Bucs have done really good, especially in the postseason, is that they find the weakness on the defense. And they exploit the crap out of it. For the Green Bay game, it was that defensive back, King. Yeah, Kevin King. Mike Evans had the first touchdown of the game against him. Scotty Miller, that halftime touchdown, that was on King. Playing against Kansas City, they don't have a ton of weaknesses. I think they can exploit the middle of the field with the linebackers. If you go back to that last game, Rob Gronkowski, his only 100-yard reception game of the season was against Kansas City. I know we haven't seen too much of Gronk here in the postseason, but that's mostly because he's been a blocker. He's still very efficient.
Right.
So I think they can exploit something there with Gronk. They love to send Chris Godwin over the middle. Chris Godwin, to me, he's the locomotive of this offense. He's the most consistent.
The volume guy.
Like Mike Evans, he'll do his thing in the red zone. He's great. Antonio Brown has been very efficient since he got caught up with the playbook and everything. But this offense goes as far as Chris Godwin goes. He's the locomotive. He's just so consistent. And if they get him involved early,
and
this offense can go places.
And one unbelievable stat, I said this on the Pewter Report podcast a little while back, 62, I believe, offensive drives Pat Mahomes has played in the playoffs since he's gotten to the league. 62 non-kneel-down offensive drives. They have averaged 3.7 points per drive. So if you're going into a game and you're settling for field goals and you're punting the ball, you're already behind schedule.
Yeah, you're already down three.
You cannot beat this team kicking field goals. And you just cannot make mistakes that cost you. You cannot live in third and long situations like you did against the Packers where you're getting into third and six, third and seven, third and eight, and bailing yourself and letting Tom Brady bail you out of that. Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, is far too good. They play far too much dime defense with three safeties on the field. They are built to counter that. You cannot let that happen. You have to be aggressive on early downs. They're going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to run the ball well.
They can't fall in love with it. They can't fall in love with the run. They love to establish it so much, but almost to a fault.
Predictable.
Yeah, they become predictable. But on the flip side, they have been great at play action all season. It's fallen off a little bit in the postseason, but overall, they're so efficient when it comes to the play action. I have this gut feeling it's all been about Leonard Fournette, and rightfully so. He's played great. I have this gut feeling that Ronald Jones is really going to step up in this game.
Had a big game against Kansas City, that real nice catch that he picked on the sideline.
He didn't play against Washington in the first round, and you know didn't really do much in either of the divisional round of the NFC Championship game. But as we said, the Chiefs are going to dare you to run the ball, and I think Rojo has the best chance with all these defensive backs on the field to get those explosive lightning plays that we like to see from them.
I don't know if you guys like to do or don't like to do predictions. If you do, what do you think is going to happen on Sunday?
The Bucs have gotten this far. I didn't think they would beat the Saints. I had trouble believing they'd beat the Packers. They were underdogs in both games, and you know what, gosh darn it, they came out, they proved me wrong, they proved a lot of people wrong, and they beat them. And I would be remiss if we got all the way to the Super Bowl and I picked against the Bucs.
Right.
What's the fun in that? So if they've surprised me a couple times, they've overcome the odds, Bucs go out there, I think, with Tom Brady at the helm, the Super Bowl's in their own backyard. They've got one more win they can grind out this season, 37-34 Bucs.
I'm going to do a shameless plug right now. You could read our previews and predictions on PeterReport.com, which will be out later tonight here on Friday. You can't, as I said, you can't doubt Tom Brady in these moments. It's been almost like a fairy tale season for the Bucs in what's been a nightmare of a year overall with this pandemic. You got to go with the Bucs here. It's going to be extremely close. It's going to come down to the end. But if the Bucs have that ball last, one final drive, Tom Brady's going to do it.
Who else you want?
I think it's going to be 34-31 Bucs win.
You know, he knows what he's doing and, you know, all that stuff. And I've always said probably the third reason, you know, it's not the first reason he came to Tampa, but I truly believe in the top three or four was the Super Bowl was here in Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, and again, to be able to do that.
To add to that legacy.
To add to it. You know, the receivers had a lot to do with it. You know, where it is had a lot to do with it. But the Super Bowl being here. So, yeah, there's a lot there. But I hate when people say, well, they're more motivated.
Everyone's motivated. It's the freaking Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
I hate that argument.
I hate the billboard material. You know, Hill doing the backflip. You're not going to be any more motivated to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the big one was with the Steelers, with Juju Smith-Schuster dancing before the game. It motivated them teams to start beating them. If you are an NFL player and you need motivation, if you need any more motivation when you step out in that field on Sunday, you're probably not very good, and you're probably in the wrong business.
The guy who brought that up.
This is not like high school football players playing for these are men with jobs on the line and money on the line and families to take care of.
We'll talk about this. I'd love to have you guys back on at another time, but I'm going to say this real quick. The person who says that like that and direct and to the point is every time Greg Hardy's on this show. You know, we talk about no crowds. He goes, if you need a crowd to motivate you, if you need billboard material to motivate you, you're not a professional athlete. You know, if you need all those things. Mm. So, guys, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, when we return to some form of normalcy, we'll be back over there at $1 next year.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, let's go hit a break. When we return, my former co-host is walking through the door. He was once the most eligible bachelor in Tampa Bay, Johnny Mack, when we return. Talk about moving. Gotta move on. Gotta move on.
Gotta move on. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The biggest bare knuckle event ever, Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, live on pay-per-view. Featuring the highly anticipated debut of Paige VanZant against bare knuckle veteran Britton Hart. Plus, brutal Johnny Bedford defends his 135-pound title against the undefeated Dat Nguyen. And Chris the Crippler Leben returns to face Quentin Henry. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join us on February 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Sarasota Polo Club for the Sport of Kings in the exclusive Polo Clubhouse. As a VIP, you'll enjoy an open bar, great food, VIP parking, a VIP gift bag, and much, much more. Go to festivalsofspeed.com for more info, directions, and how to purchase your VIP tickets. What a unique way to spend Valentine's Day and make this day a day you will never forget.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Tampa Convention Center. Final two segments of this very awfulness that's we've had here for 4 or 5 days. Today was the worst. I'm surprised we're still broadcasting. But I don't know how many stories I can really talk about our next guest. I mean, they're out there, but with him sitting right next to me, I'm not sure I want to tell a lot of them. But we may tell some.
It's okay.
Like, Johnny Mack, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, well, so since we have to socially distance, I can't murder you. So, you know, go away.
Well, yeah. I'm not Gil Castillo, so, yeah. You know. So let me tell
you a quick
story.
Forgot about that as well.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story. So Johnny Mack and I used to do a radio show together. Johnny Mack, one of, if not the only, defensive linemen that were gunners on special teams. Correct?
Right.
That was your big, thing.
I looked that up, and actually, so there was no other defensive end in the history of the NFL that did that except Lawrence Taylor every once in a while.
It's pretty good company.
Yeah, it's not bad company. Yeah.
Company. He was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess when he was like bored, he would just also go do that.
So when we would do the show, Matt, as you know, I've always been involved with MMA and the UFC, and we would do these shows at events, and I would take whoever my co-host with me.
Sure.
Jorge Diaz was my co-host. This is my favorite story, and I'm going to say it about Jorge. So Jorge went, this was up in Connecticut, and he wasn't feeling well. And you'll be able to relate to this because we did this as well. So we went, everything was set up via the way I do it. So we went into the restaurant at Mohegan Sun, and I ordered for Jorge too, because it was two meals.
That's just emasculating.
I knew, and
I ordered for you also.
I knew Jorge wasn't coming. That's the thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I got two meals. It's kind of like when I flew down to the UFC in Brazil and I was in a middle seat, it was that massive plane, and they walked down one aisle with the tray car for food, And then as soon as she walked by me, I slid to the other side. So I could get the...
You're that guy?
Yeah, he's that guy.
Oh, my goodness.
I am that guy. So
it's like turned his hat around to be like, oh, yeah. I'm new people. Right. I need one.
I learned that when we had Mark Royals and Martin Gramatica doing a show. It was the same era, and they were signing autographs, and we looked in the parking lot, and these two people were changing shirts so that they could come back in and get autographs again. I'm like, I like it. So anyway, so the legendary story, we're broadcasting at the MGM Grand, and Dana walks by, and John McLaughlin to my right goes, hey, Dana, I want to grapple with Randy Couture. And Randy was fighting that weekend, so that wasn't going to happen. So what does he do? He brings one of the littlest guys, Gil Castillo, and we go into this room, and there's a video. It's all over YouTube, the whole nine yards. And so they start grappling, right?
Well, so here's the thing, right? let me preface. So, like, they said, all right, well, I'll set you up with somebody. And I was like, okay, great. And I go in there. I'm 2 months out of, like, a month or two out of back surgery, right? And then so I go in there, and I literally thought, I was like, all right, well, they're going to show me, you know, moves or whatever, you know, and then we'll kind of convey this to the public, and we'll, you know, like MMA for dummies, right? Like, I'll explain it. I'll explain, like, instead of the actual name of the technique, we'll just explain, you know, kind of what they do and how, you know, talented these guys are.
Sure.
And I go in there. This dude is sweaty, like he has been warming up like since October, and it's like, bro, it's not that. And he's in his like little boy shorts and shit. I was like, no, man. I was like, hey,
the rash guard.
It's like, yeah, and I was just like, all right, this isn't what I thought was gonna happen. And then not what I thought was going to happen.
So describe the size difference, because you're a, I mean, I don't know what
he was
play.
Huge.
What was your play?
He was the mountain from
Gil Castillas, who fought Matt Hughes. So, you know, he was probably, not fighting then. So he was probably 180.
Yeah.
You know, 170.
And what was your playing weight? What did you play?
I was playing at, I don't know, 250. At that,
sounds about right.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
So, yeah. You know, just to get through the story, because we have many, to talk about. So, you know, they're grappling around, and Gil puts them in a knee bar. Now, you know, John doesn't really know what a knee bar and what can happen.
Right.
If
you
don't
twist the wrong way. It's...
So not only did every athlete that was in there yell, tap, 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 but so did the president of the UFC, Dana White, saying, tap, tap, tap. So John taps. Well, you'd have to know John McLaughlin. And again, I know him a little bit.
He's not tapping.
No, he tapped.
Oh, okay. No, I
took the advice. No, it wasn't going anywhere.
And then they went and they got on their knees again. You know, you slap hands and all that kind of stuff. So then Gil thought it would be smart to get John, who is 6'4". 6'4", and yeah. I think Gil is 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
So he thought it would be a really good idea to put John in a rear naked choke. And it was all fun and games until John stood up.
He's on my back, and I'm like, dude, I've had it. Like, so I just, like, I stand up with him on my back, and then I just...
And he
like,
fell back.
And I just go over backwards to try to squish the guy.
That's so
But good. He had it locked in. He kept it. Like, he held it.
It was so much fun. You know? And then he falls back and squished him. Yeah. The second funniest story, and I don't know if you remember this.
And go ahead. Before you're done, go ahead.
No, it's not about that. We were moving on.
Before we move on. Yeah. Let me just explain something. If anybody that's listening out there goes to YouTube and looks this up, just by the way, I have the full video at home on VHS, right?
On beta.
And it wasn't like the YouTube version. I don't know who hates, you know, it's called NFL versus MMA fight or something like that. And they hate football players, I guess, because they just go to every time where he just like submits me. They just like cut to that. They don't show anything in between where I have the guy and I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, all right, so what happens now? And then we just move around until he gets he gets something.
Because it came from that side.
Right.
You know, it was the UFC that probably put it out, or it was Gil's promo.
I don't know.
And that was back in the day, but now there's Greg Hardy. Yeah. Now everybody respects the NFL guys coming
not
over.
Just Greg. I mean, there's Marcus Jones, UFC guys that are over there.
What? Marcus Jones did it?
Yeah. Big
you
baby.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but Marcus went on The Ultimate Fighter.
Really?
And Dana wanted Marcus Jones to win The Ultimate Fighter so bad because he wanted Marcus.
I would have pulled for that as well.
He wanted Marcus to be their main guy.
Right.
You know, good looking, athletic, built, chiseled, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and also, like, he's like, what, 6'7"?
Yeah.
And the guy can literally, the only guy out at practice, like, when practice would be over, 6'7", 285 pounds, something like that, you know, and he could do a standing backflip.
Wow.
Like,
and he's a great
partner. He would just, like, backflip like this and land on his feet. And I was like, you have got to
no
be
no Styles G. White
kidding.
There.
Yeah, Styles G. White did a backflip, but it landed on his neck. And it was Randy's front yard, I think it was.
He, like, he tapped himself out.
So I don't know if you remember this story. So, you know, we land. One of the first things we do when we land, John McLaughlin tells me, have you ever been to In-N-Out? I'd never even heard of In-N-Out.
The burger place.
So, well,
yes,
it's a very famous.
Andy Reid probably knows where it is.
He tells me the whole story, the whole nine yards. So we go from the MGM Grand, and if you've been in Las Vegas, to In-N-Out, which is probably a mile and a half.
We had to wait for it to open.
It was a $75 cab ride because of how much, you know, traffic, and it doesn't move. So when we come back, and I don't know if you remember the story, but so when we're coming back, and we're on Tropicana Boulevard, we've sat at this red light for probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
And the meter is moving, right? Well, you know me. You know, my religious background came out. And I'm like, screw this. We're getting out. And the driver goes, you can't get out. I go, watch me. Yeah. And we get out of the car.
Well, this is not a cop car. We're not in the backseat of a cop car. We can get out.
It's still at the red light. And I turn back and I go, oh, crap. I left my phone in the car.
No.
And I knock on it and I go, can I get my phone? He goes, no. Yeah.
So, wow.
Yep.
Another costly cab ride.
We were walking through the Caesars you know, mall area.
Right.
And what does Johnny Mac want to do? He wants to DJ in one of those stores.
Yeah. Armani Exchange.
Third tables in the window.
Yeah. I've DJed in malls since
you're still
then,
DJing,
by the way.
Right?
And I don't know. I posted the video of my Christmas interview not too long ago. And it was literally, that was in 2000 and in the locker room. And they were like, where do you see yourself 20 years from now? I was like, I don't know, probably being a DJ somewhere in like Spain or something. Like, literally, you know, all my friends thought that was hilarious because I DJ.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't remember what the event was that you and I went to in Daytona or somewhere around Daytona. And as we're driving back, it's late at night, the whole nine yards. And Johnny Mac's like, no, we need to stop at the store. Now, you guys know, and what you and I argued about earlier this morning, you know, I want to get home. I want to do any of this side crap. He's like, no, I need to go buy some vinyl.
Yeah, buy vinyl. Yeah. I used to DJ here, like, so. You know, during
practice.
Yeah, my passion, right? Like since I was 5 years old, I've been DJing, and so when I was at Notre Dame, I would DJ, like on Thursdays or Fridays, right? And we'd play on Saturdays, but I'd be DJing on Thursdays, and then in Tampa, you know, here I was DJing on Mondays. And I started Mangroves, like Monday nights at Mangroves, like. Unless we had Monday Night Football game. Then there was a conflict of interest there, obviously. Right. And I was like, oh, which job should I show up for?
Right.
But
think he's kidding.
No, I'm good.
Serious. I was DJing at Mac.
What's the DJ name? What do you go by?
I just go by Johnny Mac. I've been called that since I was a kid. Like, all my teammates called me that, and it was just been a nickname. Somebody was like, hey, so we're going to put you on the flyer. What's your DJ name? And I was like, I'm just going to come play music. I don't do flyers and all that. He's like, all right, we're just going to put John McLaughlin on it. I said, no, put Johnny Mac then. And then after that, I just kept it. So,
Johnny, where do you call home now? Where's what's home?
Man, that's, I'm a vagabond. So it's just, this is home right here for the next few days. And then I got my stick and that satchel that goes over it. And we'll see where
I go. As long as you got that face covering.
So let's
go hit our final break of the afternoon, and then we'll close out the show. Hanging out with my good friend, 95. I love that jersey that's in our studio. Oh, yeah.
DJ Johnny Mac.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back. Everyone's watching. We'll be right back.
is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join us on February 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Sarasota Polo Club for the Sport of Kings in the exclusive Polo Clubhouse. As a VIP, you'll enjoy an open bar, great food, VIP parking, a VIP gift bag, and much, much more. Go to festivalsofspeed.com for more info, directions, and how to purchase your VIP tickets. What a unique way to spend Valentine's Day and make this day a day you will never forget.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Hi guys, this is Vin A. of the Bronx Wanderers. I'm excited to announce Dad and I will be performing at Ruth Eckerd Hall, March 16, 17, and 18. Go to our website, thebronxwanderers.com, and we hope to see you there. Stay tuned to Knockout Radio.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Todd Washington, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Wow, Todd Washington, we are going, you know, old school. Speaking of old school, back in the late 90s to about, what, 01? Johnny Mack out there on the football field?
Yes, sir.
What do you miss of anything? Do you miss anything about those playing days?
I miss, like, being around men. You know, it's the world has turned into just a bunch of pansies. So, like, you know, that locker room, you know, you're around men back then. And it's just like guys that literally, like, there's something about, you know, what they have in their gut is different than, you know, just your normal average everyday people, right? It's, you know, these guys are, I don't know, it's a little more of like, it's a little more primitive, if you will, right?
So. You know, it's interesting because, you know, the Bucks have had some problems over the past couple of years of people, of players in the locker room. And, you know, there was one player, I don't even remember his name. It's not that I won't say it, I don't remember it, who basically made the comment, I'm here just for the paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here for my brother. I'm not here
for
my teammates.
The game has changed as well.
And there's a particular, in my opinion, the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time, who has told me, do you think that crap would have happened when I was in this locker room?
Right.
Talking about Warren Sapp.
Right.
Back then it was a little different. How much do you think difference would be with these cell phones? that are now out there. And, you know,
I would have been out of a job way sooner with these if social media was around back then. But I don't know. I weigh whether or not I would have been more popular or less popular. Like, I'm not, you know.
Probably more popular because social media is so big.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as like what would be posted on social media about me, I was, you know, I was not, I was not the poster child.
You would have been less popular. You're right. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Well, Randy, you took my question. But along the same lines, I mean, the guys today with the gameplay, you can't even touch a quarterback's head in passing without a penalty. You know, the gameplay has changed.
Yeah, it's basically like he's wearing a red jersey like they do in practice all the time now.
Correct.
Like, even in the games, right? Like, he's just might as well have the red jersey on.
Like, yeah, that's why a guy like...
You kind of grab him and you can throw him down. But, wow, it's they get real, real technical about, you know, breaking down where exactly that helmet was put on, you know, and whether or not it was, like, aggressive. And it's bizarre. John Lynch? Remember?
Yeah. He wouldn't have a... He would be fine in every game.
Chuck Cecil? He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day. I remember growing up, right? He's like, I got a cut over his nose or something. And I was like, I kind of fell in love with that guy because he was ranked one of the most violent people in the NFL at the time. And I
think the biggest difference because of the gameplay with the protection of the players is now guys cut across the middle like it's no big deal.
Right.
Well, they can. Yeah.
Now, that used to be a no man's zone. Only the brave would go and catch a pass in the middle of the field because you might not live.
Well, you look at the Heisman Trophy winner, right? Was that receiver from Alabama, right?
Right.
So, like, that guy, he's a tiny little, like, he would probably get ruined back in the day at the next level, but he's going to be just fine. Like, you know.
You said that, you know, you'd be a special person to run across the middle. You didn't run across the middle with, you know, Atkins and Lester Hayes and Ronnie Lott. Imagine running across with Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
You did once.
Or John Lynch.
You would do it once.
Yeah, you do once, and then, you check into the training room.
Yeah. How do you
ice me down?
How do you tackle a quarterback and not touch him and not, you know, lay on top of him when you take him down?
Yeah, I don't know. So, no, don't ask me.
I know we only have a couple minutes. You know, thank you for stopping by, and you know, we've got some gifts for you and all that. But
there was no stopping by the way, to get in here. This is a compound. We'd have an easier time getting into Fort Knox.
Oh, I found the key.
You said you need socks. What did you say?
Yeah, also that.
Hold on a second. I found the key. This lady's sitting behind us drinking coffee without a mask. So I'm just going to open this can.
Just hold the can in front of your face.
I've got it.
We'll talk into the can.
What are you doing in town? How long are you in town? You're going to enjoy this?
Here till Monday, and I'm seeing some of my favorite people, like Shake and Kurt and Kurt Malia and Gleet. And just, this is surreal for me. Like, there was like 2 minutes left in that game against Green Bay. And I got on and I booked it. Jobless, no income. I'm like, hey, I'm going, you know.
He really is a DJ.
Yeah, I was like, hey, let's, I'm going out there for this. And it was, you know, it was crazy because the last time, you know, we were around Tampa when they won the Super Bowl, I was doing a radio show with you, Randy, and we were in San Diego. And that was, you know, a year after I got hurt, but I still was committed to doing this crap. You know, he drugged me through the season, and I was like, still have all my old teammates on as guests every week, you know.
So, John, like, you're not alone. There's apparently a Buffalo Bill fan who was so confident that the Bills were going to be here, he bought four tickets at $8,500 a piece. He's trying to unload them, so maybe, Randy, you can connect him with Johnny.
Well, he's selling it. I think he sold them for $4,500.
I'm definitely not going to the game.
Bring your vinyl. We'll get you in.
Yeah. I was like, and then after I bought the tickets to come here, I was like, you know what? I should have just rented a car so I could load my DJ equipment.
Yeah.
You could have stopped.
Rolled out here.
Really, I'm surprised.
Would have DJed on Bayshore out there. Got a generator and
What you should have thought about is you could have done that, stopped at a hotel, laid all your DJ stuff out, and then just did it in trade for a hotel.
I reached out to all my old DJ buddies and asked if I could do a guest spot somewhere. But, you know, everything, NFLPA, the NFL alumni, everything that they're doing is all virtual. Maxim Party, Sports Illustrated, they're all canceled.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, of course, the first time in history that Tampa gets to go be in their hometown. Also, the first time in history we get to be in a pandemic, and also none of those parties are going to be actually going on. Of course.
First and foremost, thank you very much for stopping by. I'm going to give you a pair of earbuds there from Ear Fun for stopping by. I also have some gear from 8-Man Strong.
Should I hold it up for all our viewers?
Yeah, for all the listeners. So, but you'll be able to see it on YouTube right next to Gil Castillo, and check that out. How can people
Gil
follow
Castillo.
You?
Gil Castillo. Just because he's Hispanic doesn't mean you have to feminize the.
How can people follow you on social media?
Just look me up, John McLaughlin. Actually, my profile picture is my old Tampa Bay. I'm in uniform, so on the field. So it's look for me on that, and then I don't really do Twitter because I don't really have anything interesting to say ever, and that's about it.
Look for the return of the Johnny Mac Show. We're going to get this going. I want to thank everybody for tuning in at this godforsaken place here called the Tampa Bay Convention Center. I can't wait to get outside to get this damn mask off. We will be back next week. Thank you to everybody back at the station.
Go Bucks.
And, of course, our main sponsor.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.